Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I came up with a really good analogy that I want to share with you guys, and I just want to get your opinion. Now, I want you to remove your personal feelings toward this. I think you're going to need to do that in order for the analogy to work. We all have had Dippin' Dots before, right? You would agree that Dippin' Dots are pretty popular. They sell Dippin' Dots at baseball games. They sell Dippin' Dots at amusement parks. They sell Dippin' Dots at other little festivals or fairs or whatever. There's no question that Dippin' Dots are popular. And I'm sure by now you know what Dippin' Dots' slogan is. It is the ice cream of the future. They've been saying that since 1989. I looked it up. 1989. It is 2026. Everybody's had Dippin' Dots before. Everybody's seen Dippin' Dots before. Again, no one is denying that Dippin' Dots are popular. They have had a lot of success as a business. But you know what America decided? America decided that even though some people like Dippin' Dots, we like Ben and Jerry's more. America has decided that we like Häagen-Dazs ice cream more. We like Blue Bell ice cream a little bit more. That nothing wrong with Dippin' Dots. We like these other ice creams better. It's just for whatever reason. Soccer is a lot like Dippin' Dots. Everybody knows what soccer is. Everybody's tried it. That's the part that when soccer people describe their sport, I don't think that they are accounting. If you are in your mid-30s like I am, maybe you're a little bit older than me, this is not your first time watching soccer. You might not follow it, but the United States, they've been in the World Cup before multiple times. You watch Landon Donovan. You watch Clint Dempsey. You saw Tim Howard. You've watched United States soccer. You've made a determination on whether or not you like it or not. And kind of like with Dippin' Dots, you like it in certain settings and in certain places. I will never come on here and tell you that soccer is not popular in America. That's not true. There's an entire American league that's doing very well. Sporting in Portland and Seattle and all of these cities. Soccer has gotten so popular, there's a women's league in America that people like and enjoy and follow. You can look at the ratings for the EPL. People watch soccer. People absolutely watch soccer and pay attention to it. It's not like Erling Haaland. It's not like you came into this tournament with no clue with who he is. You know who he is. You know who Kylian Mbappe is. You know who Ronaldo is and Messi and a bunch of other stars. People in America know soccer, I think, a lot more than soccer people want to give us credit. Just like everybody listening, you've tried Dippin' Dots before. But you know what? Even though you might have liked Dippin' Dots, you know what eventually you did? You went back to the other ice creams that you like more. If Dippin' Dots was the ice cream of the future, it would be more popular. There'd be physical stores. It'd be like Dairy Queen, or it'd be like Baskin and Robbins, or it'd be like Sonic. But that's not what it is. You know what Dippin' Dots is? It's a nice niche product that there is clearly a market for. That's what soccer is. It is a niche product. I don't think that there's much more room for growth, whether it's on the field with soccer or off the field, than where we currently are. You know what the NFL is pretty determined in? The NFL is really determined in taking all of your time. All of it. Not just even when the games are happening. They want all of your focus in the offseason. The Super Bowl is going to be on Valentine's Day. Did you know that this upcoming year there's not going to be a break between the combine and the actual start of free agency? Usually there's a 7 to 10 day window. No, the day after the combine is the start of free agency. When do we get a break of not talking about the National Football League? Can you ever foresee a day where on sports talk radio, We're talking about the EPL. For all of you talk soccer more people, do you see a day in which, whether it's on this show, whether it's the other shows, whether it's the other station, where we're breaking down what Sporting did last night? I just don't see us getting to that point. Again, I'm not here telling you that soccer is not popular. I'm not anti-soccer, not pro-soccer. It's just soccer don't mind me. I don't mind soccer. I leave it alone. It leaves me alone. I like the relationship that we have. It's a real wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I got exactly what I needed out of soccer, and I'm done with it. We didn't need to be together. This wasn't a serious thing. You did not need to meet my friends or my parents. No, it was cool for what it was. We hung out for a couple of weeks. I decided to go in my direction. You decided to go in your direction. I wish you nothing but the best. That's how a lot of us feel about soccer. Man, it's been fun these last couple of days. These last couple of weeks. Going to Fan Fest, going to the Orange March, going to the watch parties, going down to P&L, going to the games. Man, it really has been fun. And for my business, for my profession, man, it saved us. I don't know what we would have been doing in June. Not with that baseball team they got. They're terrible. They're awful. I do not enjoy spending my summers talking about that baseball team or playing J.J. Piccolo audio or trying to figure out what double A minor leaguer the Royals are going to get. I'm not that interested in that. So the World Cup has been a blessing. But we got to be honest with ourselves. We got to be honest with ourselves about how popular soccer can be in this country. We got to be honest with ourselves about how good we can be as a soccer nation, as a soccer country. I don't know if we're going to be that much better than this. I always laugh and I joke, but you guys give me a lot of grief about Missouri, and I get it. Oh, you guys never been to the Final Four. America, they've been having the World Cup. They've only made it 12 times. They didn't make the World Cup a couple of years ago. Since 1930, the United States, they've never made the Final Four. They've obviously never made the championship. They never won the championship. They've only made it to the round of eight one time since 1930. It was 13 teams. I think we're real close to the ceiling of what they can be as a program. I really do. I think we're real close. And I also just think that soccer, it's just a really popular niche sport. The people that love soccer love it. And yes, there will be people that like it and it will grow. But are we getting EPL games? Is the best league in the world coming to America? Because every other league that we watch here in America, the best of it happens here. The best football players in the world play in America. The best basketball players in the world play in America. The best baseball players come over to America. All of the leagues that we care about and watch, the best golfers in the world, they eventually come to the PGA Tour. If soccer's not going to do that and the best soccer league in the world is not coming here, there is not a world in which it hits a ceiling that makes it rival all of the other sports. It's just not. I'm sorry. This is where we are. So if you like soccer, that's great. I hope you keep going out to support Sporting. I hope you keep going out to watch The Current. I hope you keep getting your kids to sign up to play soccer. There's a lot of good about the sport, but we just got to be honest about what it is. Soccer, it's not more popular than football in this country. It's not more popular than basketball. It's not more popular than baseball. It is a niche sport in this country. That's what it is.
I think your analogy is good. And one, I don't say problem soccer has had, one problem I have with the analogy is, it is clear soccer has made inroads in the last 20 years. 20 years ago, soccer and now are different. People know about the league. People follow the other leagues. It is different. It's not light years different, but it's different. So I think it's a little different than Dippin' Dots in that regard. And the fact that Dippin' Dots hasn't grown in the last 20 years, it's still the same as what it is. It's at Kauffman. It's at Worlds of Fun. That's where you get your Dippin' Dots. I will say this about soccer, and I don't know if it's a problem. I don't know if it's soccer's fault. People 20 years ago, 40 years ago, were saying soccer is about to be the number one sport in America. Watch out. Here comes soccer. Here comes soccer. I don't think that's ever happening. And as a result, people now hate that soccer is slowly rising. I don't think it'll ever be one, two, or three, but it is not the sport it was 20, 30, 40 years
ago. Absolutely not.
But the people who said
for sure,
the people who say it was going to grow into a top three are wrong. Soccer needs to accept that you are basically what every sport is, other than the NFL. You're riches and niches, and they have a chance to continue to grow in that world. They just, because the best players don't play here, do have a ceiling on how hard they can grow.
And I think if this is the cycle that we're going to have with soccer, I'm thrilled about it. We'll get the Copa America coming up in 2 years. We'll get the Euros coming up. You can always get me interested in international soccer. It's fun to watch the international soccer. It's a very enjoyable television product. It's something I can easily understand. Like, I don't understand all the history with Man City and Chelsea and relegation and all of those things. Like, I don't really understand all of that. I can understand Spain is playing England. Oh, okay, cool. Let me see. I get that. If you're telling me that soccer in this country is going to be, hey, it's cool to go out. It's cool to go to Sporting. It's cool to be outside. It's cool to celebrate your city. It's great to be patriotic and support your team and support all of those things. Then, yeah. And every 4 years, when the U.S. goes on a little bit of a run, we'll watch it. We'll support it. It happens during the dead time when there's not really anything else going on right now. It captures our attention. It's over. And then starting tomorrow, we'll get back to talking about football. That's what we'll get back to. We are less than a month away from this, from the first NFL preseason game. So if you want Chiefs hypotheticals, trust me, we'll get back to them soon enough. I mean, there's still a little bit more World Cup. I'm still interested in this. We got a game in Kansas City coming up this weekend. I'm still interested to see who wins this thing. I mean, I got a bet on Spain and a bet on France. I mean, I'm still interested in the World Cup, but it's over. It was a great run while we had it. It really was. It was a great run. It's over. But I've been making the Olympic analogy. You are not watching swimming right now. You're not watching track and field. I mean, they have major track and field events. You can still watch them. You can see who qualifies for the Olympics if you want. You don't care. Hey, let me know when it's at the end. Let me know when the best and all of them are going to do it, and I'll watch it. And I'll watch it in pretty big numbers. It's kind of what soccer is. Hey, let me know when all the great soccer players are playing. I'll watch it. Especially if it's going to be here in our stadiums, in our time zone, to fit our television schedule. And it's worked. So this World Cup has been a success. A+, in my opinion. I know it didn't end the way that people wanted it to end. I know the U.S. got busted out of the tournament, but I think they came about as close to hitting their ceiling as possible. They dominated the group stage. They won a single elimination game. They made it to the round of 16. They captured our interest for 3 weeks. They got 30 million people to watch it. That's the first 30 million people that watched a sporting event since 2000, or a non-NFL game, since 2016. This soccer worked for the last couple of weeks, and we are soon going to move on to what we really care about, which is football in this country. Coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Daniel Sperry. He covers sport in Kansas City and the current in soccer for the Kansas City Star. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the go-to show for dating advice you didn't ask for.
If you got to ask your girl to help on the bill on Valentine's Day, you've done something wrong.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Daniel Sperry. He is with the Kansas City Star. He covers soccer. Daniel, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing all right. I'd be doing much better if the USA had at least gave a fighting chance yesterday.
They did the opposite of a fighting chance, actually. They got beat up yesterday.
Complete opposite.
Yeah. So, Daniel, there's game stuff I want to talk to you about. There's individual player stuff I want to talk to you about. So, I mean, you've learned over the course of this. You and I have spoken. I'm not the biggest soccer fan, but I do think I'm somewhat knowledgeable on the sport. And Rob loves Christian Pulisic. That is his favorite athlete. He has his jersey. He watches him in the EPL. And I was laughing and joking with Rob a couple of days ago, and the text line was killing me for this. I've never seen Christian Pulisic play well. I'm not saying he's never played well. I'm just saying in the games that I watch, in the World Cup games, I've never seen him do anything. Yesterday, they're going up against this opponent. Man, they desperately needed him yesterday. And he was missing in action. He did nothing in the first half of the game, and then he had to come out because he got hurt.
Yeah, he gave the ball away 11 times in the first half. That is just disappointing. That is so difficult to take. And I say this, you're probably right that you've never seen Christian Pulisic play well, because I don't know that I've ever seen him step up in the marquee moment, whether that be even in CONCACAF Gold Cup, whether that be in Copa America, whether that's in the World Cup. I have yet to see Christian Pulisic step up in the moment and deliver. And it's so infuriating at times for a guy who easily probably in terms of what he is naturally gifted with as the ability as a soccer player, is beyond anything that we've probably ever had for many American players. I think there's maybe a few who might ever come close. And yet it just feels like it's constantly squandered, whether it's injury, whether it is poor performance, whether it is he wants to take a rest during the last big tournament before a World Cup and the Gold Cup, when you don't have to go through World Cup qualifying and you don't get tested on the road, you don't get tested in tough environments. And they were not great in World Cup qualifying in those environments going into 2022. You could excuse all of that in the years prior because, oh, they're young, they're still learning and they're coming through. But Pulisic's 27, the next World Cup, he's going to be 31. And the question that I have is, when are we going to get when are we going to get a marquee moment from Pulisic? And I just don't know if the answer is going to be ever, because it's so frustrating to see this guy have that talent and then just never deliver when you need it the most. And I think, just watching Messi earlier, didn't have a great first 60 minutes of the game. Came to life, and now it's Messi, right? There's differences here, but there's not that there. You can control the drive, the effort, and the intensity, no matter what your talent is, and that never waned for Messi. That never waned for Argentina. You watch Colombia right now against Switzerland. That intensity never waned, and I feel like every single time we get to the big moment with Pulisic, I see that intensity drop or not show up, and that's just where. That's where I'm left begging for more from him. And so you're right. You've probably never seen him have a big moment for the U.S. because I don't know that he has. And I don't know yet if he will, because something has to change internally there, I think.
We've discussed this golden generation, and I imagine that he's one of the people that's a part of it. How would you describe this golden generation? How would you explain this golden generation, as it feels like all of it was sort of leading towards this moment? The U.S. was going to host the World Cup. They got as deep in this tournament as they have in quite some time. On paper, it felt like a coin flip kind of game, and they flamed out ultimately of the tournament.
Yeah, and this is a group that I think, based on what you've built in with that group, after 2018, they failed to make the World Cup, right? Or going into the 2018 World Cup, they did not make it. And then you had this, they kind of cut out most of the older guys, even if they were late 20s, right? 29, 30, guys that maybe could have been there at least as vets going into 22 in that 33 to 34 age range. And they took one of the youngest teams ever to the World Cup in 22. Now you say, okay, you've got a World Cup of experience under your belt. You played England, you played Wales, you played Iran, and then you played the Netherlands over there. That should have given you some experience to learn from going into that World Cup, this one in 2026, that we were going to host. The opportunity to, they've shipped off most of these guys. I was looking at this lineup of the players that started. Only two of them currently play in MLS, and I think four of them have ever played a minute in Major League Soccer. The rest of them have been either MLS products that were like Weston McKennie and Chris Richards, who were great academy stars and immediately shipped to Europe to develop, or guys that they found in Europe, like a Serginho Dest, like a Anthony Robinson, like a Malik Tillman, that had those ties, and even Fuller and Balogun. Those guys had those ties. Pulisic never came through an MLS academy. He was straight into Borussia Dortmund because he had a Croatian passport. So even at the youth level, before the 2018 debacle, Like, we were pushing these guys at 16, 17, and 18 into Europe to try and get them ready so that when they're in their prime, they can come together at a World Cup and hopefully do well. And to see them now kind of come into the match where this is it. They're in their prime years, 26, 27, you know, Pulisic's 27. McKennie and Adams are both 27. Anthony Robinson is 28 or 29. Balogun's 25. Like, these are guys that are right in the prime of their years for pro soccer. And for the home World Cup, you would, in everything lined up for them to potentially make a big statement and finally beat one of the big teams. And they've had the experience. And, you know, after the game, you even see a lot of the guys dapping each other up. They've played together. They all play together on the same clubs, play against each other regularly. So it's not like these guys are not getting tested at the highest level. They all play with them or against their opponents. And they got whooped. They didn't show up in the moment, and they kind of shrunk. And I'm just kind of shaking my head at the loss of losing, going as far as they did, as they always have, which is to make it to the round of 16 and to fail, just like other generations who have been less talented, less privileged to be given the opportunities and the pathways to go play in Europe and test themselves. They did as good as all of them. And that's just, I think, the most frustrating thing about looking at that match last night in hindsight, is what a waste of the big moment for what was supposed to be the golden American generation.
Right now, we're talking to Daniel Sperry. He covers soccer for the Kansas City Star, just going through the United States being eliminated from the World Cup. Also want to get his thoughts on the great come-from-behind victory that we saw from Argentina. I'm sure as a soccer person, you have sat around and you have had this conversation with other soccer people. If somebody put you in charge of United States soccer, what would be some of your fixes? What were some of your proposals be to turn this around? Because every 4 years, I feel like we have the exact same conversations about soccer. I think you can see a noticeable improvement in the talent, but there still appears to me to be a gap between the United States and some of the top European teams. We just saw that in this game. What would some of your fixes be to turn American soccer around?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me would be simply to make sure that these guys that are playing with the national team are playing with each other regularly. The Argentina national team, right? They've got a couple of players. Messi plays with Rodrigo De Paul, who plays in the midfield for them. They play together at the club level. So they train every single day together. They play every single day together, play every single game together. A lot of these guys in this group, every single time they're called in to represent Argentina, as long as they are remotely healthy, they're doing it and they're playing these games. I think we're at a point now where we have enough prospects that are going to go to Europe. The pathways have been opened up for that to continue. MLS academies are pumping out high-level players more than ever before. And even some of the other academies around the country that are not like within the MLS loop are also doing the same and sending players to Europe. And so to kind of get that test. So like we've built that pathway in. Now it's about like this is, you know, going back to this with Pulisic kind of bowing out of the CONCACAF Gold Cup last year and a few others. The main group of this men's national team had not played a competitive match together really before the World Cup since the 2024 Copa America, which was under a different coach. And so under Greg Berhalter. So then you're looking there at the aftermath of that. They get Mauricio Pochettino in, and then they never actually get a real hard competitive match with the full group together until they get to the World Cup. And they tried it in friendlies. They tried to play these games against Portugal and Senegal and Belgium and Germany in the build-up to the World Cup. But, you know, they play the guys for 45 to 60 minutes and, you know, they're more worried about trying to put together tactics and stuff like that. They really just never got the opportunity to do this and play with that top group consistently over the last 4 years. And I think look at the Argentina team today, like this is borderline the same group that played in the World Cup final in 2024. And they've played every single World Cup qualifying match. They've played every single Copa America match together for the last 4 years. And they did that for the cycle before the 2022 World Cup. I think that's where there is a true like central camaraderie around all of them that the U.S. did not have. in this as well, and experience playing together in tough moments. And so I would love to see going forward them try and actually do that with this team, because I think this generation of the U.S. player got coddled a little bit, allowed to, you know, Pulisic allowed to take a major tournament off. I don't love that at all. I don't love, you know, there was one player who did the same thing, and he didn't get anywhere near the roster for the World Cup, but because Pulisic is Pulisic, we allowed him to do that. And so I think that's the kind of I would love to see a bit of, you come in and you play for the national team and you give your all, or you don't get called in, and you come and do it every time. And if you kind of create a higher level of expectation for how the American player should be conducting oneself when representing the country and how often they are doing so, then I think maybe we'll be able to kind of mix that talent with that passion and that together fight that a group like Argentina showed. Even Belgium rallied together around the whole Fuller and Balogun stuff. You could see it. That is a locker room that is easily like a powder keg. One spark in it could blow up. There are stories in that locker room of players stealing each other's girlfriends. Like it is not a great splint, and they were able to rally around, find something to rally around and come together and just absolutely throttle someone. And Argentina does the same. They rally around supporting Leo Messi. They rally around their brotherhood. And I don't know that the U.S. has that yet. And so that will allow you to play above what your maybe talent threshold is, and beyond that, and take you to the next level. And so I think I'd love to see that specifically for the U.S. men's national team, because you can go on and on and talk about pay to play for youth soccer. You can go talk about MLS academies and the MLS league, and you can talk about all that stuff. But ultimately, for the top 10% that goes and plays for the U.S. men's national team, that is like what is needed. And that those other little things that we're talking about, pay to play, all the pathway stuff, that doesn't matter really in terms of that top group that we have, because the talent is there, but the effort, the togetherness just was not in the biggest moment needed.
Right now, we're talking to Daniel Sperry for a couple more minutes here. He covers soccer for the Kansas City Star. Two last questions here. Let's start with the comfort behind win that we saw just a few hours ago between Argentina and Egypt. What a game. What a comeback. I mean, that might be the second craziest comeback that we've seen in the last month, second to the Knicks, who were down 29 points in right. The second half of the NBA Finals. What a run for Argentina that now finds themselves in the final eight teams.
Yeah, and for a second there, I really thought they were on the ropes. You know, that Egypt goes up 2-0. VAR calls it back. It's a foul. I know Egypt doesn't love it. I know a lot of fans don't love it, but it's a foul, and it led to the goal. It allowed Egypt to score the goal. Otherwise, that play doesn't even happen. So you call it back. But then Egypt immediately gets another one at 2 and makes it 2-0. And I just thought, man, that was the moment. You know, Argentina gets a break, and then they go level at 1-1, and it never happened. So then when Egypt went up 2-0, I thought it was over. But to get two goals like that in 5 minutes just shows that if you hang around, you believe, and you keep putting in all your effort, you know, some things break your way, you get the right rebounds, and ultimately you have a guy like Messi who can make that incredible cross to Christian Romero. He finishes off the play, and then at that point, Egypt was just kind of all out of sorts, and Argentina capitalized again, able to keep their composure, find a way to win in the biggest moments. This Argentina team, even in the 22 World Cup, they were tested along the way. They went to a penalty kick shootout. They lost early to Saudi Arabia. They weren't always great, but they always found a way to win. And I just think that's what kind of makes this team so great, is their ability to come back like what we saw against Egypt, and backs against the wall. They seem to do it every time. And it's one of those, just you cannot doubt that team any way, shape, or form.
We got a game that's going on right now. The winner of this game will play Argentina in Kansas City on Saturday, Switzerland and Colombia. It is tied 0-0 in the 77th minute. I have not been watching it. I don't know how to work the TV here. I turn into an old person all of a sudden whenever I walk into the studio. I have no clue how to work the television. So you got to explain it to me. How is this game going so far? Who do you think wins? Who do you ultimately faces Argentina on Saturday?
You know,
I'm kind of 50-50 on this game. I think both teams are very even, and I think that's why this team's probably going to end. This game's probably going to end up in extra time. I say personally, I would love Colombia to win because I think the spectacle of that game at Arrowhead, those have easily been the far and away the two best fan bases that have come to Kansas City, the Colombian fans and Argentinian fans, for as far as in stadium atmosphere and support. And to get the mix of that, the kind of fire that will happen on the field between the two teams, it is a South American rivalry. It was the last South American championship game, the Copa America in 2024. It was Colombia and Argentina. Like that is top level. But then the soccer that might get played, if it's Switzerland and Argentina, might be better overall soccer, I think. And so I'm kind of torn here. But ultimately, I'm kind of hoping Colombia pulls it out. But I won't be surprised if this game even ends up into extra time or in a penalty shootout. Because right now it's 0-0. It's very even. It's about 50-50 possession. They both have the same amount of shots on target. They both have the same amount of touches in the opponent's penalty area. I mean, it is about as even as a game can get. It's a little back and forth, and it's a lot of fun. So if you're on your way home or can figure out your TV, tune in, because I think that extra time and potential that might come here in a penalty shootout would be a great spectacle. And like I said, fingers crossed we get that Colombia-Argentina matchup, but I don't think we will lose any way, shape, or form in Kansas City if it's Argentina-Switzerland on Saturday.
This is the most important question that I've asked you. I'm sure by now you've seen that Adam Sandler, he did the wedding for Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Is there a celebrity that you would like to do your wedding? And what's your favorite Adam Sandler movie?
Adam Sandler movie is going to be I'll say this. I am not a huge Adam Sandler. I'm not a huge movie guy anyways. But I will, if I had to choose a celebrity, I will say, I'll take a soccer route. I'll take Zlatan because he might say something absolutely hilarious as the officiant. Thankfully I had a family friend, that is a minister do my wedding, almost 10 years ago now. Zlatan, I think if I could choose a celebrity, he has been entertaining and hilarious in all of these, World Cup coverage. And I'll take him just to say something crazy. And then Adam Sandler movie, I guess I got to go Happy Gilmore.
That is Daniel Sperry joining us on the show. He's with the Kansas City Star. He covers soccer, talking a little bit of World Cup. Daniel, I don't want you to think this is the last time we'll have you on the show. Just because the United States is out of the World Cup, it does not mean the World Cup is over. I still want to see who wins this thing. So we'll have you on next week, man. I appreciate your time.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. That is Daniel Sperry joining us on the show today. He covers soccer for the Kansas City Star. Coming up on the other side, we'll put a bow on this thing. We are off early today because of the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. Text line 913-586-7965. See that I can't wait for soccer be over so you guys will stop talking about it. I appreciate you guys listening. I don't want you to take it as I don't appreciate it, but I will never understand listening to the sports talk show and then being mad that they're talking about the sports that are happening. I mean, you're right. We usually wouldn't be talking about soccer, but it's the only thing that's moving and shaking right now. I mean, there's nothing else happening. I mean, the Royals are bad. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you guys don't care about me. I mean, you don't want me to be happy coming to do the show every day. I mean, the Royals have as many wins as the Colorado Rockies, huh? There's not a lot. You guys where's LeBron going to go? You guys got mad we tried to break down the Jaylen Brown trade. They yelled at us on the text line. I don't know what to do in this situation. Soccer is what we got. That's what the sports gods have given us. They've given us soccer. I mean, we only got 10 more days of it. July 17th, that's the finale. Soon enough. I mean, we'll be back to talking about the same stuff we were talking about in June. We'll be back to arguing if Josh Simmons is good. We'll be back. We'll be back to debating how many yards Xavier Worthy is going to get this season and that you guys give him a pass for not being good last year. We'll be back to doing that. But right now, it's soccer time, you know? That's what I think. It's soccer's time right now, Rob.
By the time soccer is over and the World Cup ends, and hopefully we get France-Argentina again, that would be fantastic. A week later, we report to camp, and me and you can break down if Jason Brownlee will or won't make the roster.
Oh, yeah.
That's our favorite.
Oh, man.
When you guys see a play by Nico Remigio and you guys are convinced he's a thing, that's where this show thrives.
Who do you think is going to say they're in the best shape of their life?
Felix. 100% Felix.
Oh, that's a great one.
Make or
that's
break year.
That's a really good one.
Off injury. Hometown guy forgotten one. About in the rotation. He shows up in the best shape of his life.
Do you think anybody will ask Harrison Bucker if he was at the wedding for Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift? And if he wasn't, was he invited?
I think someone's going to ask Travis Kelce, can you give us a list of players that weren't invited? Just give us a full breakdown. Who out there in practice today didn't get to go to the wedding?
You've never seen Brad G move faster than you've seen him move. They would end that interview so quickly. Hey, Harrison, were you invited to the wedding? Do you feel a way because you were not invited to the wedding? Thanks, guys. You hear Brad in the back. That'd be the last time you ever talk at a Chiefs press conference.
To be fair, it would go like this. You'd hear Harrison go, well, then his mic cuts out.
Yeah, his mic would just stop.
Then you hear Brad go, hey, we got technical difficulties, guys. Let's shut that her down.
That's exactly how it would go. His mic would just out of nowhere. It would just stop working. His mouth would still be moving. It'd be like a Chinese dub. That's what it would be like. It'd be like a karate movie dub is what it would be like. All right,
Nate would be furiously writing his notes. He was saying this. I'm right here. I can hear it.
that's my favorite one. So, I mean, this is what we led the show with, to just give you guys an idea if you missed the very beginning of the show. I'm proud of the United States team. I think the United States team, I think they did exactly what they were supposed to do. We had some great watch parties. Oh, hold on. We had some great gatherings to watch the United States play soccer. It was fun. It was enjoyable. We got to meet a lot of people. The U.S. gave us topics. They gave us controversy. They created a new star. They were fun. They were enjoyable. Maybe you got a chance to go down to Fan Fest. Maybe you went down to Power and Light. Maybe you met with your family to watch. The United States did exactly what it's supposed to do. This is the analogy that I made. The United States soccer team, they are a football team at a basketball school. I know you guys give me a hard time. I don't think you guys really care if Kansas is that good at football. I mean, it would be nice if they were really good at football, but all you got to do at Kansas is win 7 or 8 games. And if you win 7 or 8 games, they will never fire you. You will be employed for a very long period of time, and you will make a lot of money to be the coach. That's not the case at every school, just like it's not the case for every country. But if you could just win 7 or 8 games, great. But in order for Kansas to maybe be a little bit better at football, it might take a measure of sacrifice. Maybe you don't get Darren Peterson. Maybe you don't get Tyron Stokes, because it would take more money. And the money that you could be donating to get the football team better, you give it to the basketball team. So in the end, all you want for the Kansas football team is to have a couple of good tailgates, go out there, and when you're out there, they win, and when they're on the road, hopefully they don't embarrass you. Win your 7 or 8 games, beat Mizzou every once in a while, break the streak against K-State, you know, just keep it pushing until we get to basketball. You only got to hold on to like the middle of October, and then we'll move on. That's all U.S. soccer needs to do every 4 years. Every 4 years, can you be a nice distraction? You guys want to talk about what team LeBron is going to go to? I don't really want to do that every single day. All you want is the soccer team to be Duke football. That's all they need to be. Win 7 or 8 games every year. Just be good. Just be competitive. They are Texas A&M. Texas A&M has some decent years. They were decent this past year. They made the college football playoff. You didn't really think that team was going to win the national championship, did you? No. But the fall was great. It was phenomenal. You got to storm the field a couple of times. You got to celebrate. You got to go to Burger Bar. You got to throw the goalpost into Potter Lake. I'm sure it was a great time. That's all the U.S. were. A couple of weeks ago, you guys were mad when Rob said they weren't going to win the tournament. You guys called him a traitor, is what you called him. They got busted in this tournament. The text line said it. I tell you guys, you cheer for Mizzou. You don't know it, but you do. The United States and soccer, they're Mizzou. They're a 9, maybe 10-win program if the schedule breaks right. And then when they play one of the big dogs in the SEC, they usually lose that game and they get busted. And then you laugh at me for being excited in them. That's what you let the United States soccer do that. You'll let it happen again in 4 years. But until then, why don't you watch the rest of the good teams in the World Cup? They're going to continue to play. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.